reading from the book of Isaiah. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped to subdue nations before him, and strip kings of their robes, to open doors before him, and the gates shall not be closed. I will go before you and level the mountains. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and riches hidden in secret places, so that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who call you by your name. For the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel my chosen, I call you by your name. I surname you, though you do not know me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Beside me there is no God. I arm you, though you do not know me, so that they may know, from the rising of the sun and from the west, that there is no one besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make weal and create woe. I, the Lord, do all these things. And a reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that you are sincere, and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax. And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, Whose head is this, and whose title? And they answered, The emperor's. Then he said to them, Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's. When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. It's a busy time of the year for politicians around the world. Not only the United States faces elections at this time, many other countries, from the Czech Republic to Egypt and my own country of New Zealand, are in the throes of electoral rhetoric right now. A good many of the speakers on the hustings claim some kind of connection with God, or at least to have been given some special gift that makes them the chosen one to lead their nation. And we shall be hearing all of those holy words like family and values and peace and home, and especially in the current crisis, financial guarantees. Somehow, out of all the noise and cacophony, we are asked to discern God's call. Who do we vote for? Maybe it will come where we least expect it to come. Isaiah must have shocked the Jewish exiles in Babylon when they first heard the oracle of the first reading. Cyrus, king of Persia, is named by God Messiah, the Anointed One. How could this possibly be? A foreigner, their Messiah? Sounds unlikely, doesn't it? Especially when you read what Cyrus had to say about himself. I am Cyrus, he said, king of the world, great king, legitimate king. sounds a bit arrogant, doesn't it? But of course, for the prophet Isaiah, Cyrus himself was not the point of the story. For Isaiah, Cyrus is simply an instrument of God's plan for the people. The oracle is really about God's plan that the people would be released from their captivity in Babylon and enabled to return to their home in Israel. It's about freedom, a gift of God. Now, it's easy to get that kind of message mixed up. It's worth remembering that the name we say and spell Cyrus in the Hebrew is called Koresh. And a guy named Vernon Wayne Howell changed his name in 1985 to David Koresh in Houston, Texas, because he claimed to be the Anointed One. Shows just how we human beings can get things just so tragically confused. Just remember, it's not about us. It's not about Cyrus, the king of Persia, or about David Koresh, or about any of the politicians that speak so loud in our ears at the present time. It's about God's plan and our ability to discern the truth from the half-truths and evasions, the posturing, and the things unsaid. It's that ability to distinguish the reality that we notice about Jesus in Matthew's Gospel. Now, I don't think that today's reading is about the separation of church and state, or about the rights and wrongs of taxes. Jesus here is facing up to some very clever people in the story. People who realize that Jesus' message and Jesus' mission are really a direct attack on their own power. And so they cleverly speak to Jesus with great respect for his integrity, even flattering him. Jesus, of course, recognizes their malice and their cunning. He recognizes, too, that the trap they have set for him contains a profound question that they have not understood. The question is about the relationship between God's people and civil authority. Can a genuinely holy person withdraw from society, refuse to acknowledge civil authority, refuse to pay taxes or participate in elections, or ignore human laws? Jesus makes it plain that his followers cannot do that. To be a Christian is to live life on life's terms, with all that implies. That is where the mission of the follower of Jesus Christ belongs, right there in the middle of the difficulties and the uncertainties of life. The crucial thing for the Christian is to keep clear the vision of the kingdom of God. Yes, there are times when we will feel ourselves in conflict with civil authority, when we oppose government policies that we regard as evil or misguided. But Isaiah has reminded us that God's plan does not come out of nothing. It works out through the actions of human beings, sometimes through people who might surprise us. So as we hear the urgings and justifications and enticements of our political leaders, let's not just switch off the TV. It's important that we hear the words. But let's keep always in the back of our minds, who is being served here? Caesar? Or, through Caesar, God?